So? He brought her close. Later. The single word shot a rocketing thrill through her. Later. It's almost midnight.
Thank God.
She laughed, shook back her hair. Are you going to open more champagne?
Yeah, in a minute. I want to kiss you at midnight, so stay close.
You can count on it. She refilled platters and bowls while he popped more corks, and the year ran down to minutes. People swarmed back in from downstairs, from outside, so the noise level spiked. He took her hands at the countdown. 10, 9, 8. She turned to him, rose up. 7, 6, 5. His arms came around her. 4, 3, 2.
Happy New Year, Avery.
His lips met hers as cheers rang out and the new year began to tick. As Avery rose up, hope slipped into the kitchen. She'd open another bottle or two, she thought. Avoid the whole couples kissing the new year and ordeal. She twisted off a cork as partygoers shouted out the countdown. And Ryder walked in. She stopped. He stopped. I'm just opening another bottle, she began.
So I see.
Shouts of Happy New Year burst out, rolled over them. Well, she said, Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
He lifted his brows when she started to offer her hand.
Seriously? The hearty handshake again?
He shook his head, stepped to her.
Let's do it right.
He set his hands on her hips, cocked those eyebrows again, waited. Sure. With a half shrug, she laid her hands on his shoulders, casually on both sides. They touched lips. Her fingers dug into his shoulders. His arm slid around her waist. Something broke, like light, through the simple contact, and left her breathless. He jerked away, stepped back, and so did she. For one long moment, they simply stared at each other.
Okay, he said.
Yes, okay.
He nodded, strode out.
She let out the breath she'd barely gotten back, picked up the open bottle with a hand that wasn't as steady as she liked. And that, she thought, had been a very stupid way to start the new year.
Chapter 11.
Though midnight ushered in the new year, it was nearly 3 in the morning before Owen ushered out the last stragglers. He closed the door, turned to Avery.
Nobody's passed out anywhere, right? That was the last of the last?
Signaling to wait, she peeked out the window and watched taillights blink up the lane. And so we say goodnight to the last designated driver and his haul. I think we're clear. Whew, she added, as she stepped back from the window. The earmark of a good party is people don't want to leave. It's also the downside of a good party.
Then we can safely say, good party. Planned and executed in just over a week.
Don't think one time makes you Mr. Spontaneity, but well done.
You made most of the food.
True.
She reached around, patted herself on the back. So, do you want to have some coffee? There's some fresh left. And have the post-party analysis?
Yeah. Over breakfast.
She grinned at him. My thoughts exactly. He held out a hand, took hers so they walked through the house together, switching off lights.
This doesn't feel weird, he decided.
Not yet.
Hand in hand, they walked up the steps.
Anyway, I've already seen you naked.
A naked 5-year-old doesn't count.
Actually, you were more like 13.
Yeah, right about 13.
She stopped at the bedroom door.
And just how did you see me naked when I was 13?
Remember that summer we all rented that house up in Pennsylvania for a couple weeks? In the Laurel Highlands, on the lake?
Yeah.
The summer after her mother had walked out, she remembered it very well. You snuck out of the house a few times to go skinny dipping in the middle of the night.
I did. You spied on me?
It's not my fault. I happened to be sitting at the window, stargazing through that little telescope I had when you did your Lady of the Lake deal.
Telescope?
Yeah. I charged Ryan back $1 a minute to use it. Now that was a fond memory. I seem to recall I made about $28.
You charged them by the minute so you could all spy on me?
Spy is a hard word. Let's say observe.
Enterprising.
I've got a head for business. Plus, it was nice. The moonlight, the water. Your hair was long back then. He combed his hand through it. What color's this?
Red alert, and don't change the subject.
It was romantic, though I didn't realize it at the time. At the time, it was, wow, naked girl! That's how it is with a teenage boy. Her mind toggled back to that hot, hazy interlude on the lake.
You bought me ice cream that week. Twice.
Maybe I was marginally guilty and felt you deserved part of my profit.
And I thought you had a little thing for me.
I did. I saw you naked. I was even going to ask you to the movies.
You were not. Really?
Then you started talking about Jason Wexel. Remember him? And how you were going out for pizza when we got back? I clutched. She remembered she'd had a minor crush on Jason Wexel, though she couldn't quite bring his face into focus now.
I did have pizza with Jason and about 15 other kids. It was somebody's birthday. I don't even remember whose. I made it sound like a date, because that's how it is with a teenage girl.
Opportunity lost.
Until now.
Until now. He framed her face in his hands, laid his lips on hers. Slow and easy, not impulsive or rushed as it might have been at any other time between them. Relaxed, she slid into the kiss, without nerves, without doubts.
When his hands roamed down over her shoulders, the sides of her breasts, the thrill gathered and beat, a strong, steady pulse. Like a dance, they circled toward the bed.
I really want to see you naked again.
Her lips curved against his. It'll cost you $28. She felt the laugh rumble through him as he eased down the zipper at her back.
Worth every penny.
Better make sure, she said, and wiggled out of the dress. She stepped out of it, scooped it up, tossed it toward a chair. He didn't even notice the dress slip off the arm of the chair to the floor.
I think my heart just stopped.
Look at you. And he was, she thought, for just a moment looking at her as if he'd never seen her before. Then his gaze lifted to hers again, and there was that click, that connection, the recognition before he drew her against him again, and the feel of his hands on her skin, warm against warm, layered thrill over thrill. She brought hers up, unbuttoning his shirt as their lips clung. Here was Owen, tall and gorgeous. Here was his heartbeat, racing fast under her fingers, her palms. Her Owen, because on some level he'd always been her Owen, with his heart beating against her hands. Here was the new. He lowered to the bed with her, with Avery. Compact, curvy Avery. Bright hair, bright eyes, smooth skin, white as moonlight. Sensations tumbled inside him. Her scent, her taste, the rustle of the sheets as she moved with him. Everything about her so familiar and still somehow unexpected. He linked fingers with her, pressed his face to her breast. Soft, scented, smooth. With that hum in her throat, she arched toward him. A scent and invitation. His lips brushed the curve over the lace edge. Then his tongue swept under, and her fingers tightened on his. He ranged himself over her, center to center, And again she rose to him as he kissed her, as he filled himself with the taste of her until her fingers went lax in his. He released her hands to take his over her, over skin and silk and lace, enraptured by the surprise of her, by each new discovery. Nuzzling at her throat, he flicked open the catch of her bra and, once again, linking their fingers, he lowered his lips to her breast. Thorough. She should have known he'd be thorough, with his lips, his hands gliding and sliding over her skin. He fired her system with that slow, focused attention to her body, with the endless patience that was so much a part of him. Her blood swam, driving her pulse to a gallop, as he stroked her into sweet, soaking pleasure. Her breath ragged, she let herself rise, let herself open until there were no restraints, no barriers. Just Owen. She filled him, surrounded him with what she was, what she offered. Boundless, he thought, her energy, that quick response, that quick demand. Everything with her so fresh, so new, yet so wonderfully familiar. Her breath caught, released with a moan when he slid into her, when he, in turn, filled her. Once again it seemed his heart stopped. A stunning, breathless moment. He held here, staring down at her in a kind of wonder. She levered up, wrapped her arms around his neck, her legs around his waist. Her head fell back, and his dropped to her shoulder. Slow and easy was done. She moved now, sleek as a bullet, quick as lightning, driving him past that instant of wonder into pleasure and need, into greed. She flung reason aside, reckless and eager, to clamp against him, taking as ferociously as she gave. On the desperate edge, she curled to him as sensation careened through her, and at last, swept her into release. They didn't so much lie down as fall back on the bed. There sprawled together, they both tried to find their breath. "Why?" he managed, then concentrated on breathing again.
"Why?"
Eyes closed, he held up a finger as signal to wait another minute.
"Why?" he repeated. "Haven't we ever done that before?"
"Damn good question. We're both really good at it."
"Praise Jesus."
With a wheezing laugh, she patted his ass.
"I knew you would be. You're the detail man. And thank you very much for not missing a single one."
"You're welcome. And thank you, by the way. You have a flower tattooed on your ass."
"Not merely a flower. A thistle, a traditional Scottish symbol. That was pride of heritage," she told him. "And it's on my ass, as I knew that was one place my dad wouldn't see it and flip on me."
"Good thinking. I like it."
On a sound of contentment, she closed her eyes.
"I should be exhausted."
"You're not? I didn't finish my job then."
"Oh, you finished your job. I meant it's got to be closing in on 4 a.m. after a really long day. I should be exhausted. Instead, I feel good. Relaxed. And sleepy."
He shifted to snuggle her in, to pull the duvet over them.
"No work tomorrow."
"No work."
All but nose to nose with him, she grinned.
"Let us again praise Jesus.
Why don't we have a nap, let's say? Then we can see if we missed any details the first time around."
"I say good thinking."
She wiggled her body still closer to his, opened her eyes for a moment just to look at him. "Happy New Year."
"Happy New Year."
Closing her eyes again, she let herself drift away. Her last thought was her friend was now her lover. And she was happy. He recognized the silence, the wrapped in cotton quiet that meant only one thing. Owen opened his eyes, blinked them clear, and watched the snow fall in downy drifts outside the window. Gotta break out the plow, he thought. But later. He rolled over, intending to wake up Avery in a way he hoped she'd appreciate, but found the bed empty. Where the hell was she? He dragged himself up, poked his head through the open bathroom door. He spotted her toothbrush on the side of his sink. Considered that as he went to the dresser for a pair of flannel pants. He smelled coffee and, oh boy, bacon, as he came down the stairs. A marching band high-stepped on his kitchen TV. Snow blanketed his patio outside the doors, and Avery stood at his counter chopping peppers. She wore a white chef's apron over a blue-checked robe, her hair clipped back, her feet bare. He remembered how she'd looked the night before in the sexy dress, then later in the even sexier underwear. But he realized he most often imagined her just like this, in an apron in the kitchen.
"What's for breakfast?"
She looked up, over, smiled. "You're awake?"
"Marginally. Why are you?"
"Because it's nearly 11, it's snowing, and I'm starving."
11? He frowned at the clock on the stove. "I don't know the last time I slept this late. I guess it's okay."
He gestured toward the snow. "No school today."
"Yippee!"
Moving to her, he turned her from the counter, drew her in for a kiss. "Morning."
"Morning."
She leaned against him a moment.
"It's so quiet. In town, even when it's quiet, there's sound. But here, with the snow, it's like the world shut off."
He turned her again so they both faced the glass doors. "Look." Through the snow, on a ridge behind the snow-drenched trees, a trio of deer wandered silent as ghosts.
"Oh, they're so beautiful. I bet you get to see deer all the time."
"A lot."
"The boys are going to love it when they all move into the new house." "You did. I remember how you and your brothers ran wild in the woods when we were kids."
"Good times."
Bending, he kissed the top of her head.
"So are these. What are you making here?"
"You had this and that left over from the party. We'll call them kitchen sink omelets."
"Sounds great. You didn't have to."
"Food, kitchen." She spread her hands. "I'm helpless not to cook. You have most excellent tools, and I know you hardly ever use them."
"But they're here if I want to."
"True. I could toss a bunch of this in a pot. People never eat as many dipping vegetables as you figure they will. No point in having them go to waste. I can make up a soup."
"Snowy day, homemade soup? Did that mean she planned to stay a while?" "Who's going to argue with that?"
He walked over to pour himself coffee.
"I need to go out and plow soon."
I guess you do, but too bad. It's nice feeling snowed in and cozy." "Well, a man about to plow needs a manly breakfast."
While she cooked, he put away dishes and enjoyed the easy rhythm.
"So, the delayed post-party replay," she began. "Did you get the scoop on Jim and Karen?"
"I got that Jim's in Pittsburgh and Karen didn't want to come without him."
"You don't talk to the right people."
Avery folded the omelets.
"Jim's in Pittsburgh with his mother because Karen kicked him out."
"What? Why?"
"Because she found out Jim's been having an affair with the mother of their oldest boy's best pal."
"Jim? Come on, that can't be right."
"No, it's very wrong. And it's been going on nearly 2 years, according to my sources."
She plated the omelets,
added bacon, toast, passed a plate to Owen. But this seemed so solid.
Well, taking her own plate, she joined him at the breakfast bar. She comes into the pizza shop with the kids more often without him than with, and I saw her at Sam's Club right before Christmas when I was doing a supply run. She looked stressed, barely spoke to me. At the time, I figured it was just mother-of-three Christmas countdown pressure, but now she found the other woman's panties in her bed.
Well, Jesus, that's not only wrong, rude, cold, but it's stupid.
Could be the slut-slash-lover. She's already separated from her husband, left them in there on purpose. Anyway, that was the kicker. She booted him out, and she's already got a lawyer.
I'd say good for her, but it doesn't seem like the right phrase. It's hard to swallow it from Jim. They've been married, what, like 10 years?
About, I guess. But for the last two of them, at least, he's been screwing around. No excuse for it. You're not happy, you fix it or you end it. Plus, since he's in Pittsburgh with his mommy, he must not be serious about the slut.
Mystified by her logic, he took the toast she buttered for him.
Why do you say that?
Because if he was serious, he'd have crashed at the slut's. Now he's broken his family, ruined his marriage, his rep, not to mention how much this'll hurt those little kids. All for some stranger. I hope she skins him.
No comment?
She said after a moment of silence. I figure you never know what goes on between two people, or a family, but yeah, from what you've got, skinning seems appropriate. I like Jim, okay? He just called me a couple weeks ago about rehabbing their master bath. I was supposed to take a look at it after the holidays.
Avery wagged a slice of bacon. He's planning a new bathroom and screwing his slut in his wife's bed. Not serious about the slut. No respect for his wife or his family.
No respect, agreed. But maybe the affair isn't a slut.
Please! Avery shoveled an omelet.
She was still married when she first hooked up with Jim, and my sources say Jim isn't, or wasn't, her first cowboy.
How do people know this stuff? Who is it, anyway?
I don't know her. Apparently she lives in Sharpsburg, works for some insurance company, has a weird name. No smart remark referencing Avery, she added.
Harmony, which doesn't seem to be apt.
Oh.
Oh?
I know a Harmony who works for our insurance agent.
This omelet is great.
Aha!
Uh-huh.
Subject change. Shifting in seat.
Eyes keen, she wagged a finger at him.
Sure signs of guilt and or evasion. You dated her?
No, she's married, or she was married, and she's not my type anyway. Let's just say I've had conversations and so on with her due to insurance, and there may have been subtext.
Slut,
with a flick of her finger in the air, Avery mimed touting up a scoreboard.
I can call him.
I'll say the first lines of subtext were delivered while she was wearing a wedding ring.
Slut! What does she look like? Tell me everything.
I don't know, exactly. Blonde?
Bleached?
He let his gaze roam over her messy, clipped back hair. I'm forced to point out you have no grounds to disdain anyone for changing hair colors.
You have a point. Still, is she pretty?
I guess. Not my type, he repeated. She's... obvious is maybe the best word. She's good at her job as far as I'm concerned. That's all I am, was, still am, interested in.
When did the kickout go down? The day after Christmas. Karen found out the week before, but let him stay so the kids would get one more family Christmas in. Why?
I had to drop in the agency a couple days ago, sign some stuff. She didn't seem upset. And, there was additional subtext.
Those bright blue eyes darkened. Slut! Slutty slut with no conscience! She helps destroy a marriage, and now she's moving on, looking for the next sucker. That's what my mother did.
He said nothing, just laid a hand over hers.
That's probably why I have zero tolerance for sluts and cheats. With a shrug, Avery rose to take both their mugs back to the coffee maker.
In addition to the Karen Jim implosion, did you know Beth and Garrett are getting married?
Yeah, she was flashing the ring around last night. They both look happy.
They are. And Beth's got an extra glow, seeing as she's about 8 weeks pregnant.
What? How did I miss this stuff?
By spending too much time hanging out with men who have no gossip to share. They're happy about the baby, they've been together almost 2 years now, and it looks like Baby Makes Three boosted them to make it legal. I was talking to Beth about the idea of them getting married at the inn.
At the inn?
Claire and Beckett are getting married there next spring. This could be a kind of dry run. They want something small and soon. They were even thinking about just doing the courthouse thing, but that made both their mothers cry, she added as she came back from getting fresh coffee for both of them. When I suggested the inn, Beth got pretty excited. She didn't know it was an option.
Neither did I.
It's up to you guys, of course, but Hope's good with it. I could do the catering, no problem. Mountainside could do the flowers. They're only talking about tight friends and immediate family. Maybe 25-30 people. You've already got bookings for Valentine's Day, but the weekend after, you're clear so far.
Next month?
He had to gulp down coffee.
That's pretty damn quick.
As I said last night, one spontaneous semi-party doesn't make you Mr. Spontaneity. Relax. You wouldn't have to do anything. Beth wants to get into a nice dress before she starts showing, so they don't want to wait. They'd already talked about staying there for their wedding night. And this would be like one-stop shopping.
How much do we charge as a wedding venue?
She smiled at him. You and Hope will figure it out. I'd probably give them a discount, due to it's the first one and all that. Play your cards right, wedding guests will book every room the night before and the night of.
Good business, he thought.
Avery knew good business.
I'll talk to Hope tomorrow.
You've got a busy brain, Avery. I know. Right now it's thinking we should finish this coffee. You go out and plow the lanes while I straighten up from the party. Then, to pay me back for my services, you can take me to bed.
I can't lose.
To my busy brain, it's more like win-win.
Maybe he liked to plow, but as soon as he'd done his own lane, perhaps not with the usual finesse, Owen headed straight to Ryder's. Paths for DA already cleared, he noted.
Good.
He parked the Jeep, jumped off. He stomped his boots, then walked into the house.
Hey, Rye.
Down here.
I'm covered with snow, man. You come up here.
DA padded upstairs, tail wagging. He licked snow off Owen's boots. Ryder followed moments later. He wore sweatpants hacked off at the knees and a sweaty t-shirt.
What's up? I'm trying to get a damn workout in, after which my plans were to fat ass before game time. Now it's sledding and snow wars at Mom's.
When?
You forget your phone? Has the world ended?
I've got my phone. He dug it out. No messages.
Maybe you're not invited. She likes me better.
She pretends to like you better so you don't whine like a baby. She must have called the house. Anyway, this works. I'm taking your truck. You need to finish the plowing. Get Beck's, then Mom's. We can switch back over there.
You're Mr. Plow.
Have you got a woman in here?
On a windy sigh, Ryder dipped his hands in his baggy pockets.
Sadly, no.
I've got one. I'm taking your truck.
So you can go turn on the little red machine?
That's said with respect and affection.
For her.
I'm taking your truck, then I'm going to have sex while you're not. You're Mr. Substitute Plow.
Then no bitching when I don't do it your way.
Just don't screw it up.
He grabbed Ryder's truck keys off the table by the door.
What time at Mom's?
I don't know. We're not punching a time clock. 2 or 3, whenever.
Then I'll see you when I see you.
As Owen strode out, Ryder looked down at his dog.
One of us has to get a woman. I fucking hate plowing.
Owen walked into the smell of soup simmering, and when he stripped out of his gear, into a clean kitchen. Though he considered it a waste of breath over the blasting music, he called Avery's name as he walked through the house. He heard her, singing in the shower. When he reached the bedroom, she could barely carry a tune, but she made up for it with strong enthusiasm and volume. Unable to resist, and really the only downside was a glass shower door rather than a curtain, he yanked the door open and made the high-pitched psycho sounds. Her answering scream was brilliant. Plastered against the shower wall, eyes as big as blue moons, she gaped at him.
"What's wrong with you?"
He had to suck in the breath laughter stole from him.
"I think I broke a rib laughing. Otherwise, I'm good." "Jesus, Owen."
"I couldn't help it. It had to be done."
"Yeah? Well, so does this."
She grabbed the handheld sprayer, twisted the controls, and soaked him where he stood.
"Now we're both 12.
Smug, she fit the sprayer back in its bracket. "I guess I might as well come in there."
"Hmm,"
was her answer. "A hot shower, a hot woman after cold work," he said as he stripped off his dripping shirt.
"I thought you'd be another hour at least."
"I switched with Rye." He yanked off his boots. "Soup smells good."
"Once I finished down there, I decided to take advantage of your shower. Your bathroom rivals the inn's, and I've been getting spoiled. And your mother called."
"Sledding and snow wars late afternoon."
"I said I'd bring the soup."
She sent him a questioning look. "Good idea."
"Claire can stop by my place, get my boots and gear."
"That'll work." He peeled off his soaked pants, tossed a couple towels on the floor to soak up the wet.
She didn't seem surprised when I answered the phone. Mom has a way of knowing what she needs to know.
He stepped in, closed the shower door behind him. "You know, if you switch the TV to digital radio, it pipes in through those." He gestured to the speakers in the ceiling.
"Oh,
just FYI." Then he just smiled at her.
"What?"
"I was just thinking when I watched you skinny dipping all those years ago. I never figured on this." He ran his hands down her body. "You're all wet and warm."
"You're wet."
She wrapped her arms around him.
"But a little chilly."
"It's cold out there doing man work." Laughing, she tipped her head back.
"You've got man work to do in here, too."
"Then I'd better get started." He took her mouth while water rained hot and steam plumed, letting his hands roam that wet, slippery skin as she hooked her hands around his shoulders, rose up. No, he'd never figured on this, on the ease of it, the excitement of it. Never imagined the odd discovery of someone he'd known all his life. Smooth and curvy, firm and agile, and so willing to touch and be touched, to take and be taken. She smelled of his soap now, something else to make the familiar the new. She lathered it over him, enjoying the play of muscle. She rarely thought of his strength, as it was his mind, his kindness, his Owenness she thought of first. But now, running her hands over him, exploring those ridges, those ripples, reminded her he was, at the core, a man who worked with his hands, his back, his brawn, as well as his brain. And those hands, far from smooth, incited fresh needs, new wants, deeper desires. He made her tremble, made her breath snag and tear. Meeting those needs, exploiting more until her body seemed to gather into one aching pulse. Water sluiced over her, slicking her hair back. Her eyes, brilliantly blue now, stared into his, then went opaque as she shuddered.
"I don't... we can't..."
She struggled to regain her balance, to find purchase.
"You're too tall..."
You're too short, he corrected.
Then, gripping her hips, lifted her off her feet. So you'd better hang on.
Owen!
He braced her against the wet wall and drove into her.
Oh!
Her eyes flew open, intense now, focused on his. He plunged again, ripping a cry of pleasure from her, and still her eyes remained open and on his.
Don't let go! Don't let go!
You either,
he managed an instant before she pulled his mouth to hers. They both held on. Later, she sprawled face down, naked on his bed.
I'm going to get up and get dressed in a minute.
Take your time, he told her, admiring her thistle. I like the view.
What is it with guys and tattoos on girls?
I have no idea.
I think it's the Xena factor, female warrior.
You don't have a two-piece black leather warrior suit, do you?
It's at the cleaners.
She pillowed her head on her arms.
Maybe I should get another tattoo.
No.
Then studying her butt as he dressed, he considered.
Like what? Where? Why?
I don't know. Have to think about it. The problem with the butt location is I hardly ever see it. And it seems like the person who goes through the process ought to be able to see the results easily. Added to it, hardly anybody else sees my butt either, so what's the point? Unless I consider it some secret ritual of teenage rebellion, which it pretty much was. This would be mature.
A mature tattoo.
Anyway, she rolled over, sat up. I really like your shower. I really like you in your shower.
On a long, lazy sigh, she reached for her blue-checked robe.
I need to check the soup.
Stay tonight.
With the robe half on, she stopped to blink at him.
Tonight? We both work tomorrow.
We both work tomorrow anyway. After snow wars and soup and most probably fights over football, come back with me. Stay tonight.
She wrapped the robe around her, belted it, looked up again.
All right. I'm going to check the soup before I get dressed.
Okay.
As she walked downstairs, she wondered what to do about the flutter around her heart. She recognized it. She'd felt it before. She'd been 5. Falling in love with Owen, again, was very likely as foolish now as it had been then. But the McTavish gut knew what it knew. She just wasn't so sure about the McTavish heart.
Chapter 12.
Early in the new year, armed with a thick binder, Avery did yet another walkthrough of what she firmly thought of now as McTees. But this time, she had Hope and Claire as sounding boards.
The bar along there, dark wood, something that makes a statement. I'm going to try to sweet talk, cajole, beg, and sex Owen into making it.
How's that going? Claire wondered.
The sex part.
Look at this face.
Avery pointed her thumbs at her own face.
Satisfied, relaxed, happy, and just a little bit smug. So question answered.
So far, so good.
Lights there, 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 warm tones, and I'm thinking a leather sofa, maybe dark brown over there, coffee table. Some high tops in the front window, low tops there and there, and the pass-through to the restaurant will be right there.
It's going to be great. But before we get into color wheels and tables, Hope added, one must ask why you're not bragging about said sex or offering details to the one, sad one of us who isn't having any.
I might jinx it and make you sadder.
Please, Hope flicked that away.
I saw Owen earlier, and his face also looked satisfied, relaxed, and happy. I'm not sure about smug, though he may have been masking that.
Are you seeing him tonight?
No. I've only got about an hour. Then I've got to get over to the shop.
I'm working. And he's... all of them are so busy right now, prepping for the opening in a few days, working on the other building, planning for this one. We've been together almost every night since New Year's, and I thought...
You needed a break?
Claire suggested.
I thought we should take one. You know how I can get. I always go into something like this thinking it's casual, it's fun, it's natural. You like the guy, trust the guy, you're attracted to the guy, so you go with it. Then, being me, I start wondering, is it more? Should it be more? Is this love? Big L?
Are you in love with Owen? Claire asked.
I got the...
She fluttered a hand at her heart.
The McTavish heart?
Hope nodded.
It can't be trusted, but the thing is, I've loved Owen forever. I love all the Montgomerys. It's in the bone. So this could be that. Kind of a false positive. If it turns into the big L, it could mess things up.
Why?
Claire demanded.
Do you automatically assume he couldn't big L you back?
I don't know. Maybe that's in the bone, too.
She let her shoulders rise, then fall.
I think part of it's a mother issue, which is just depressing.
You're nothing like your mother.
And I don't want to be,
Avery said with a nod at Claire.
She cheated and lied and used. Sex was easy for her. It was sure as hell casual for her. So I think the part of me that can't handle the thought of being anything like her takes the easy, casual sex and insists on making it more, like a reflex or antidote. Then I switch it around because the big L hardly ever works. It's stupid.
It's not, Hope insisted. It's you.
But now it's me and Owen. Every time I've been involved with a man, I end up making it more because, you know, flutter. Then the flutter stops and I realize, no, he's not the one. He's a perfectly nice guy. Mostly they have been. But he's not the one. If there really is a the one, anyway.
There is, Claire insisted.
Maybe. Now I've got the flutter with Owen, and when it stops...
Why when?
Claire shook her head.
It might not stop. Going by history, it's when, that's all. I don't want to make it more, then have to make it less again. Not with Owen. He matters more than the flutter or the mommy issue.
I think you're underestimating yourself and him.
But, Claire checked the time. I can't go into depth on that, as I've got to get home. But we will talk, she finished, pointing a finger. Fine by me. I'd better lock up. I can walk over to the inn with you, Hope. Go over my part of the menu for the opening before I head to work.
Okay.
They went out, parted ways with Claire heading across Main Street and Avery walking with Hope across St. Paul.
She's in love, Avery said. Love like that makes an optimist out of you. Helps you see other people riding the same optimistic train.
Why shouldn't you be optimistic?
I'm not overly pessimistic, I don't think. I'm more cautious. I'm not in love or riding the optimistic train, but I can tell you it's really nice to see the way you and Owen are together.
She unlocked the door to reception.
And I can also see how you... anyone might take a short, thoughtful break. Sex can be easy and casual, and it can also cloud the brain. So clear your brain for a day or two.
That's it exactly.
God bless practical-minded Hope, Avery thought.
Brain-clearing interlude. I'm going to make tea while we go over the menu.
You're making tea at the inn,
Avery boosted onto a stool at the island.
And we're talking opening menu. A year ago, we weren't even close to this. You weren't even living in town.
A year ago, I thought my future was the Wickham Hotel in Jonathan.
Did your heart flutter? No.
Considering, Hope put the kettle on.
But I thought I loved him. I did trust him, admire him, enjoy him. And so I thought I loved him. He knew that. Knew I trusted him, admired him, felt for him. and he knew I believed we were going to make a future together.
Why wouldn't you believe?
Why wouldn't I?
Hope agreed, without the taste of bitterness on her tongue she'd once swallowed too often.
We all but lived together. He said he loved me. He talked about the future with me.
I'm sorry, Hope. Does it still hurt?
No.
Maybe a little,
she admitted as she set out cups.
More pride than heart, though, at this point. He used me, and that just pisses me off. I don't believe he intended to in the beginning, but in those last months, he lied to me and used me, and in the end made me feel like a fool. That hurts, being made to feel like a fool.
He's the fool.
I don't ever want to hurt anyone like that.
You couldn't. You don't have it in you, Avery.
She hoped not, but now and again, worrying over it kept her awake at night. In her quiet, closed shop, Avery tied on her apron and began the opening process. She switched her ovens on, started coffee. She counted out her cash register, checked the level of her ice machine. Moving from open kitchen to closed and back again, she refilled her toppings trays, made a note to order more delivery boxes, opened a new tub of mozzarella. After transferring some dough pans to her under-counter cooler, she calculated she'd need to make more by noon. She hauled out her big pots of sauce, set them on low, deciding she was lower on marinara than she liked, she gathered what she needed to make more. She paused at the knock on the door, and damn, there was that flutter when she saw Owen through the glass. He held up a key, and at her nod, used it to unlock the front.
You look busy.
Not too. We're low on marinara.
Can I work here at the counter for a while?
It's too noisy at the job site, and they're into the media tours at the inn.
Sure. Want some coffee?
I'll get it in a minute.
He set down his briefcase and a long tube, shed his coat, pulled off his ski cap, ran his hand through his hair. Then he walked around the counter, cupped her face in his hands, and kissed her.
Hi.
Hi.
Smells good.
Best marinara in the county.
I was talking about you, but the sauce isn't bad. Do you want coffee?
My hands are going to be full until I get this going. Aren't you supposed to be part of the media stuff?
Off and on.
He walked off to get a mug, lifting his voice when she opened a huge can of crushed tomatoes.
We've got a nice slate. Hope has contacts down in D.C., up in Philadelphia, so we drew some interest beyond the local. Nice for us.
Very.
Mom and Carolee are handling most of it with Hope, and the rest of us will do whatever, whenever.
Exciting stuff,
he stood, watching her stir, add her herbs.
Don't you have to measure?
No,
she said simply. I looked over the menu you've worked out for the new place. How do you know how to make all that?
She slanted him a look Hope would have termed smug.
I have many skills.
I figure you need to test some of those dishes on a willing subject.
She glanced over.
Do you? And you'd be willing?
It's the least I can do.
Generous to a fault, that's you.
But it actually wasn't a bad idea, she mused. It was like testing out each room in the inn before opening.
I'm off Monday night.
Works for me.
Place your order.
Whatever you want.
No, take another look at the proposed menu, place an order, salad, appetizer, entree. The works. When it's real, I'll have a chef, so I won't do all the cooking, and I'll have people working the line. But this would be a good indicator. I should try different dishes out on different people, too. Make adjustments sooner rather than later.
Speaking of adjustments, are you about done there?
I am done.
But she can make dough now. Save time in the afternoon. I want to show you something.
Has to be quick, she told him as she wiped off her hands. I should go ahead and make dough while I have the time. And didn't you have some work?
She added as she crossed to the cooler. Deciding she wanted her caffeine cold, she pulled out a Diet Coke.
This is part of it.
He opened the tube, took out a set of blueprints, unrolled them on the counter.
Is that the bakery building? I never did get a chance to...
She trailed off, momentarily speechless as she read the name. McTee's Restaurant and Tap Room.
McTee's? It says McTee's.
That's the name you said, right? You can always change it.
You can change anything right on the blueprints. This is your copy. Beckett is tied up this morning, but he'll go over them with you. For now, I can answer most questions, if you have any. Explain what you don't get.
My blueprints.
That's right.
Hold on a minute.
She whirled away, danced around the dining room, jumped, spun, kicked, reminding him of her cheerleading days at Boonesboro High. When she did a handspring, he jolted, then laughed.
Jesus Christ, Avery, you can still do that?
Apparently.
On a woo-hoo, she launched herself at him. He caught her, staggered a little as she pumped her fists in the air.
I was hoping you'd have more enthusiasm.
How's this for enthusiasm?
She locked her arms around him, her legs around him, her mouth to his.
Not bad.
He turned them in a circle.
Not bad at all.
I haven't even seen them. I have to see them.
Wiggling down, she all but fell on the plans.
I can explain,
he began, but she brushed it away.
Do you think I can't read blueprints? I practically slept with the ones for Vesta.
It's good, it's good, she muttered.
I'm going to want to move this cooler from here to here. It makes more sense for the flow. Plus, I'll need a table here beside the dishwasher.
He pulled a pencil out of his briefcase.
Mark it.
She marked it, made a couple small adjustments.
The opening here, that's good. Easy pass-through from space to space for servers and customers. Sitting at the bar, having a drink with a friend. Hey, why don't we have dinner? Stroll right on over.
It's a big bar.
She gave a decisive nod.
Needs to make a statement.
You need to tell me what you're looking for there.
The wood, the finish, the style, so I can work up a design for you. She shifted her gaze over.
Are you building it?
I figured on it. Why?
I was going to sex you into it.
Now that I think about it, I'm pretty busy.
On a quick laugh, she turned to wrap her arms around him. The hell with head-clearing breaks.
Owen.
Maybe not that busy.
She held tight, squeezed her eyes shut.
I'm not going to let you down.
Nobody thinks that.
Not for a minute. She shook her head, looked up at him. It was more than a building, a business. It was Owen and that flutter around her heart.
I'm not going to let you down.
Okay.
Nodding, she laid her head on his chest again. Old foundations, she thought. New phases. Who knew what you could build?
I need to make dough.
Who doesn't?
With a smile, she tipped up her head.
I need to make pizza dough so I can make the other kind and pay my landlord.
While you're doing that, I'm going to make some calls in the quiet.
He gave her a last squeeze.
About these, he gestured to the blueprints. It's going to take a while, making the changes, getting the mechanicals, then the permits, and we're centered on the other building right now.
It doesn't matter how long it takes.
She thought of him, of them, the lifetime already shared.
It's how long it lasts.
Just after opening, Hope dashed in the door. Avery added pepperoni to a large.
Hey! How's it going in Hollywood?
It's good. Pretty smooth so far.
They're doing some interviews and videos with the Montgomerys right now. I've got 10 minutes.
Have a seat.
Avery slid the large in the oven.
I thought I should run over and tell you rather than text. A lot of the crews asked about lunch, so we've been hyping Vesta.
Your hype's appreciated. Good thing I made that extra dough.
The thing is, a couple of them got the idea to do some video and interviews around and about. Here to start, with you.
Me?
And maybe some photos.
Of me? I can't do that. Look at me. I have sauce on my apron. I didn't wash my hair this morning. I have naked face. Sauce works. It's the job. Hair's fine. I've got 9 minutes now. I can do makeup in 6. Let's go. But orders! Shit. Chad! Too large in the oven for delivery. Deal with it. Back in 5.
6, Hope corrected.
6,
Avery called as she ran for the door.
Why didn't anyone tell me this could happen? I wouldn't have naked face.
6 minutes, maybe less. The gods gifted you with gorgeous skin. We'll just pump up the eyes, give you more color, less shine.
I'm shiny!
Desperate, Avery shoved open her apartment door, raced to the bathroom.
I'm wearing an old shirt.
The apron covers it. Focused, Hope yanked open the drawer of the vanity.
The saucy apron.
I'm telling you, the sauce is good. It's like a prop.
Sit,
she ordered. This is simple. It's not a screen test for a major motion picture. It's a few seconds on the evening news.
Oh, God.
Quiet. Why can't you organize your makeup into groups? Eyes, lips, cheeks.
Don't start on me when I'm having a nervous breakdown. Why did I use this color on my hair?
Why do you use any color on your hair when you have gorgeous hair to begin with?
It was because of the rut. It was the rut. But now it's like an addiction. Help me.
Shut up and close your eyes. Hope swiped on shadow, blended, drew on liner, smudged. Didn't I tell you to buy an eyelash curler? Wary, Avery opened one eye.
I fear them.
Get over it. Look here. She leveled a finger, then brushed on mascara.
Why do you always look so perfect? Avery complained. Why are you beautiful? I hate you.
I can give you clown cheeks.
Please don't.
You have skin like porcelain. I hate you. Deft and quick, Hope feathered on blush.
And for God's sake, buy an eyelash curler and a lip liner.
Relax your jaw. She chose a lipstick from the 2 dozen jumbled in the drawer, dusted on translucent powder, blotted.
Done.
And in 4.
My pizzas!
Chad's got them. Take a look. Avery rose, studied the results in the mirror over the sink. Her eyes looked bigger, bluer, her cheeks more defined, her lips rosy.
You're a genius.
I am.
But my hair...
Leave it. 20 seconds. Hope tugged here, smoothed there, nodded. Unstudied, casual, and just a little sexy.
The shirt
is fine. Different earrings. 30 seconds. Hope made the dash, pulled open the earring drawer. A quick scan, eyes narrowed. These, a little sparkle, a little dangle, and they're from gifts. Symbiotic. She did one ear while Avery did the other.
Shouldn't I?
Done, Hope declared and grabbed Avery's hand. Switch focus. You want the reporters to mention the excellent food and fast, friendly service in a cheerful atmosphere, right?
Right, right. Jesus, stupid. It doesn't matter how I look. Of course it does. But I need to warn the staff. I should call Franny in.
Wouldn't hurt.
Gotta go. Thanks for the face. Really?
By 1... She was too busy to worry about her shirt, the sauce on her apron, or if she'd chewed her lipstick off. She focused on pizzas, making pie after pie, and thanked God for Franny, who'd come in at her call and dealt with pasta orders, salads. She worked her way through it. In fact, did 2 quick interviews while she stood at her work counter, even tossed dough on request for a camera. And she thought of the lovely perk of having her place on a DC station, for even 2 or 3 seconds. At 3, with the madness over, Avery took her first break by collapsing in the empty back dining room with a bottle of Gatorade. She waved weakly when Claire came in.
I think I used up all my electrolytes. Did they come to your place?
Claire held up the Go cup from her bookstore.
Skinny latte with a double shot of espresso.
That answers that.
It was good, though. Good for turn the page, for the inn, for the town, I think.
I bet Hope didn't have to rush down to TTP and do your makeup.
No, but I don't work in a hot kitchen all day.
Good answer.
The reporter from Hagerstown Magazine wants to pitch a follow-up or a related